So today Jesus continues in the Gospel of Matthew to speak on the kingdom of heaven. And I want to give you a little context for Matthew's Gospels and how important this section for him is. And in order to understand that, we have to understand first the community of people that Matthew is writing to. So as you know or may not know, each gospel writer was writing to a different group of people. They're not all writing to the same groups. And that's why you have similar stories and everything, but not said the same way, because they're addressing different audiences. And so Matthew is writing to a community of Jews, Jewish people. And in writing to the people, to the Jewish community, all of the gospels use or relate the parables about the kingdom of heaven, but Matthew does it in a different way. So from this period of Matthew, we will hear seven parables on the kingdom of heaven. And the first one we heard was last Sunday, which was the parable of the sower. And then today we hear the second parable, the third, the fourth, and then we'll hear the rest later. But this second parable that Matthew tells of the field is an interesting parable, because only Matthew tells this one. If you look for this same parable in Mark, Luke, and John, you won't find it. And that's because Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience who has, and so he keeps speaking. If you listen to Matthew, you'll hear him use the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And as I said last week, because he's writing to Jewish people, he uses kingdom of heaven instead of like the other gospel writers who use kingdom of God. It's just easier for the Jewish people to accept that. Our Jewish brothers and sisters never speak the word Yahweh, God. And so he doesn't use that word, because he knows that then people won't listen to him. So he's speaking to try to get people to listen to him. And he's also trying to address the Jewish understanding of the kingdom of heaven, because in a practical way, the Jewish people of Jesus' time did not all have the same understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Like any nation, there are people of very different views. They don't all see things the same way. And that even came down to religious beliefs. They didn't all see things one way. And so for Matthew, it's important to stress that Jesus has come to explain what is truly the kingdom of heaven, and to invite the Jewish people that he's listening to leave aside their ideas of the kingdom of heaven and to listen to the true kingdom of heaven. And this is why in today's gospel he finishes with, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, he who is willing to put aside what he thinks he knows and listen is important. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is a good lesson for us, a good first lesson for us in the gospel is we are many people sitting in this church, and we approach things from many different directions. And if I asked each one of you separately, each one of you would say you have the market cornered on the right way of thinking, whether it be religiously, politically, morally. If there's 250 of you here, I'd have 250 different markets cornered on how things should be. And my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus starts today by inviting us to say, what you think you know, you don't know. So put it aside. Father, don't insult me. I'm not insulting you. But it's important that we, because we approach, when we listen to the Word of God, we approach the Word of God with our way of thinking, and then we try to impose our way of thinking on God, and we try to make God fit into our beliefs, the way we perceive the world, the way. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, as I let me on a little secret. God is much bigger than your ways. I don't know if you know that, but I assure you that God is bigger than your ways. And instead, God wants to take an opportunity, and he gives us this parable about the kingdom of heaven, which is really quite a deep parable, because what has happened is that this, now remember, Jesus is speaking in Capernaum. He's speaking to a people who are agricultural. So he's using references that they work with every day. And I know some of us here are agricultural, but not all of us are agricultural. So Jesus is using things that the people who are listening to him can relate to in explaining the kingdom of heaven. So he uses this very common feature about the kingdom of heaven as saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this man that goes and sows good seed. And what happens is that his enemy comes and sows what is called a seed of what is called darnel. And in some translations, they actually use the word here. They just use the word seed. And so we don't really understand. We just kind of think, oh, they just planted bad seed. Well, what's the big deal? Actually, in the time of Jesus, to plant the seed darnel was a darnel seed was very serious, because the seed was poisonous. And in fact, if you read Roman law to this day, if you read Roman law, there were very strict rules under Roman law about people going and sowing this type of seed as a way of getting back at people. It was a very serious offense, because you could, remember, this is their livelihood. If the crop doesn't produce, and it doesn't produce fruit, and they don't sell their crop on the market, they will die of hunger. And so it was very serious to take this seed and to plant it in somebody's field after they planted good seed. But it's interesting, if we listen to the way that the person responds, he doesn't respond, because the servants want to go and take everything out. Well, they want to say, okay, well, let's go and get rid of the bad seed. And the master says no. And there's a reason for that. One of the problems with this darnel seed is that as it's growing up, it looks like wheat. And so it is almost impossible in the beginning stages to distinguish between wheat and the weed. And so it's very easy to go and take out the wheat and leave the darnel. And so the master, in his wisdom, says, no, let them both grow. And then when we go to harvest, at that point, once you harvest, once the darnel seed reaches a certain age, it is distinguishable from the wheat, then we'll go, we'll harvest the wheat and the darnel, and that it will be separated. Now, and then Jesus will tell these other parables about the kingdom of heaven, but he explains this first parable. And one of the first understandings that Jesus wants us to have of the kingdom of heaven is that the kingdom of heaven is small. It starts small, but can produce big fruits. And so that's first, as Christians, that's important for us to understand. A lot of times we kind of we want results right away, and we want grandiose results. But the kingdom of heaven, God has created this kingdom of heaven, and it's it grows little by little. But Jesus explains this parable. He says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, God says, the field is the world. And so God, in sowing the seeds of the world, has given men and women of faith, but also there are men and women who are not following God. And what is Jesus trying to tell us is that there is a battle going on in the world between good and evil. And this kingdom of heaven is planted in order so that battle can happen. Now, what does that mean for us? It means, my dear brothers and sisters, we have been planted in this world as children of God by our baptism. And therefore, we partake, and I'm sure that we experience constantly, that there is a battle going on. There is spiritual warfare going on between good and evil. Now you say, well, Father, what the heck does that have to do with you, with me? It has a lot to do with us, because there is a constant fight. And we have to ask ourselves, where are we in that fight? As men and women of the kingdom of heaven, where do we live in that fight? Because the evil one wants to overtake us. The evil one wants to steal us, wants to kill us. The evil one comes to say, let me see if I can get them out of the kingdom of God. But how do we fight that spiritual battle? And this is really the question for us. How do we fight? Do we fight well? And to know if we're fighting well, we have to ask ourselves, what is our prayer life like? What is the state of our prayer life? I don't know. Each one of you have a different state. Some of us may be spending a lot of time. Some of us sometimes. Some of us very little time. Some of us no time. But my dear brothers and sisters, we fight a battle. There is an evil that wants to consume us and can consume us if we do not fight the battle well. If we do not have, first and foremost, do we have dedicated time with God every day? Not just personal dedication, but as a family, do we encourage our children, our families, to have a spiritual life? Because your kids are not going to have something that you don't have. Do we encourage our children in their lives to put God first? Again, if you don't put God first, please don't get angry that your children don't put God first. Because your children are looking at everything you do and say. They're not only looking at what you do, but they're much wiser than that. Because they're like little sponges. And because they're like little sponges, they pick up not only on what you do, but what you say, what your intention is. They're very smart. And so do you teach your children to put God first in their lives? And I hope that you do. One of the first steps is that you teach them to come to church every Sunday. But that, my dear brothers and sisters, that's the bar down here. That's the bar down here. That's an important bar. But that's the bar down here. Do you teach them to put God first in every aspect of their life? When they go to school, how they look at the world? Do you spend time with them in prayer? And fantastic if you spend time with them in prayer at night before they go to bed, but I invite you, spend more time. Maybe start a family rosary. Maybe start a family scripture reading for 10 minutes a day. Help them to understand that we are in a battle and that we are trying to work for the kingdom of God, because that is what comes first. Because my dear brothers and sisters, as this parable is saying, we will face a judgment. There will be a reckoning between the seed and the wheat. And when that time comes, how will the Lord find us? And so as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that we may have the ears to hear, that we may be willing to put aside our views, our way of understanding as if it's gospel, and maybe, quite possibly, small chance, maybe we can listen to what God wants for us. And maybe in listening to what God wants from us, we find a better way than our own ways. Let us stand